You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
So, yesterday Prime Minister John Key made the shock announcement that he is resigning as Prime Minister and leaving Parliament after 14 years. He entered Parliament in 2002 after a career in global finance, became leader of the National Party in 2006, and went on to win three elections, 2008, 2011 and, of course, 2014. The National Party caucus now have until next Monday to decide who will replace Key and become the 39th Prime Minister of New Zealand. Well, earlier I spoke to Auckland University public policy lecturer and political commentator Jennifer Curtin about Key's decision to step aside and what this means heading into the election next year. And I began by asking her, well, basically, for her reaction.
I was shocked. I know that people have often intimated that he wants to go out on a high, and he has always sort of insinuated that himself, really. But there was also an assumption that he wanted to beat Helen Clark's record of time as Prime Minister, and that he wanted to be, you know, the longest serving modern day National Prime Minister. So there were still some targets that he might have been able to reach. But they're saying he stayed in. He's been thinking about this for quite a while, and that may be the case, because I've been to a couple of events in the last few months and where he's been, and he hasn't been quite the same energetic, you know, I'm on top of it all kind of guy. He's sort of looked a little less enamoured by the whole role of being Prime Minister. I mean, these are events that are cameo performances for him, I suppose, but he doesn't look as enthusiastic as what he might have been 5 years ago.
This surely wasn't planned, because it just seems so unexpected, and it looks like he would have won a fourth term next year.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't think he could have announced it while the by-election for Mount Roskill was on.
Mm.
So he may have needed, you know, he's had to wait until the Phil Gough seat was filled, because that would have been a really difficult race to run if we'd had a new Prime Minister in the chair as well. But certainly, once that's done, you know, he's saying there's a year to go for the new Prime Minister to sort of get their feet under the table. So in that sense, I would say that he probably has been thinking about it for 3 to 4 months. And even though National was doing really well in the polls, you know, he's down to 38%, which is still really high, right, compared to the others. But for him, you know, he's halved his popularity ratings probably in the last 18 months to 2 years, or close to, you know. So he's used to high ratings, and he might be wondering whether or not he can keep those.
He seems to be endorsing Bill English for Prime Minister and leader. Is this likely, do we think?
Yeah, this is interesting. I suppose the thing here is that you've got to balance somebody who can sort of take the party into an election, continue to understand how the government's been running financially, you know, deliver those tax cuts next year. And so in that sense, English would be the natural successor. And we know that he's done it before, last time round, not particularly well in terms of the 2002 election. But he will have learnt a lot from that. So they're going to have to be some pretty robust contenders for him to not get it. The question will be whether or not he is the best person to run a campaign on, because he's such a contrast to Key in that sense. You know, he's not the most sort of, you know, let's go down the pub, have a beer kind of guy. He is more conservative in his politics, and not quite so populist, if you like.
It sort of stays behind the scenes.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of local candidates relied on John Key's charisma and popularity when they ran last time around. So in 2014, most of the billboards around the country had John Key's photo alongside the candidate's photo, right? So the party vote, you know, John Key was critical to getting such a high party vote for National. I'm not convinced that Bill English would necessarily be able to have the same pulling power.
So do you expect National support to drop as a result of this?
Well, not immediately, I don't think. There'll be some. It'll really depend on how quickly the new leader can get, you know, get to grips with things. I mean, they're going into the Christmas break, so everybody will turn off politics probably until February, unless some, you know, there are more disasters that happen that we need immediate reaction to. But, you know, whoever takes over will be well placed to manage those, I expect. So the question will be how the opposition parties now respond and whether or not they can take advantage of this sort of momentary vacuum, if you like.
Do you think Labour will get a push out of this, I guess, a boost?
You know, maybe the undecideds will go up for a wee while they work out what they might want to do, because traditional national voters, like those who party identify with national, aren't going to flip just because John Key's not there anymore. So it's the swing voters, so the 30% that sort of sit in the middle. And you know, in some polls, those are up to around 19% undecided. So we might see the undecideds go up for a wee while. Whether Labor automatically gets a fillip, I'm not sure. You know, Winston Peters might get an immediate fillip. Who knows? But, I think it'll take the electorate a wee while, or those who get surveyed a wee while, to work out where they want to go.
Do you think we might see a push from Judith Collins or Paula Bennett for the leadership?
Well, you know, people have touted Judith Collins and, you know, as a potential, you know, aspirant. Whether or not she'd ever get it is another thing. But certainly she's always been ambitious and is very forthright. I'm not sure Paula Bennett would be the second one. I think one of the ones that might be a quiet background person who could be considered would be Amy Adams.
Sure.
She's had some really difficult portfolios to manage, and she's done them really well. She's really smart, and she's sort of one of those quiet achievers. She doesn't champion herself in the media quite the same way, perhaps, or use the media in quite the same way Judith Collins does. But she's really good as a minister and strong. So I'd say she'd be one to watch. She'll certainly get a promotion, I imagine.
Does this announcement mean the election next year is much more wide open than it could have been?
Oh, yeah, I think so. You know, talking to Labor insiders about 12 months ago about, like, what are Labor's chances are like under John Key's leadership, you know, it's going to be a real uphill battle. And that was nothing to do with Little. It was everything to do with just how popular he was and his personal vote attraction, right? With him not being in the mix, it really does change the whole dynamic of what might happen next election. It also opens up the policy space in terms of debates. You know, it'll be really interesting if it's English to hear what he has to say about closing the inequality gap and dealing more explicitly with housing and all the infrastructure and migration issues that we still have to face going into an election.
Just finally, how do you think John Key will be remembered?
So he's already writing his own legacy in his speeches. So I think, you know, the sort of dominant narrative will be he brought us through the global economic crisis, even though some of the platforms for that were set before 2008, that he will be, you know, helping New Zealand get through the earthquakes. But there are also other things, like his style of leadership has really changed the way New Zealanders relate to politics, I think. You know, straight after the back of Helen Key, who was earnest and not sort of an every person in the street kind of politician, and John Key has connected with New Zealand voters in ways, well, a lot of New Zealand voters, in ways that other leaders haven't been able to do for a really long time.
Yep.
So I think that would be one of his legacies.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.